All right, moving on to our second speaker is Brad Thompson. Brad is a professor of political science at Clemson. He's written the book, American's Revolutionary Mind, A Moral History of the American Revolution and Declaration that Defined It. And he's going to talk about liberty and rights from the founding of our republic. Go ahead, Brad.
Thanks, Larry. Fact. The American Revolution is the most important event in American history. It announced the birth of a new nation, defined the noblest ideals and aspirations of the American people, and it created the world's first written constitutions and republican governments. Not surprisingly, the revolution is the most studied event in American history, which raises the obvious question: is there anything new and original left to say about the American Revolution? That was my challenge when I set out to write my book, America's Revolutionary Mind. My goal was to rethink the deepest causes and consequences of the American Revolution. But the key to understanding what my book is about and why it's unique is contained in its subtitle. It's a moral history of the American Revolution and the declaration that defined it. Now, of course, there have been social, economic, political, religious, constitutional, military, and diplomatic histories of the American Revolution. But there has never been a moral history of the American Revolution. So my book begins with a puzzle. It attempts to unravel the meaning of two well-known statements, one by John Adams and one by Thomas Jefferson. In 1815, John Adams asked a simple question: what do we mean by the revolution? He did not think the war for independence was the true revolution. The war, he said, was only an effect and consequence of the revolution. The real revolution, he continued, was a moral revolution in the minds of the people in the 15 years before shots were fired at Lexington and Concord. In 1825, Thomas Jefferson described the Declaration of Independence as an expression of the American mind. This means that the Declaration is a summing up of the moral revolution described by Adams. My book, therefore, uses the Declaration as an ideological roadmap by which to chart the intellectual and moral terrain traveled by American revolutionaries as they searched for new moral principles in order to combat British tyranny. The book examines the most famous sentence ever written in American history. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, what did the founders mean by equality and rights? Let's start with equality. Let me begin by telling you what the founders did not mean. Equality did not mean sameness. The founders knew that there is an inequality of measurable human attributes. Not all men and women are equal with regard to speed, strength, and intelligence. The founders recognized a natural aristocracy of talents and abilities. So in what sense, then, did they mean that all men are created equal? By equality, the revolutionary generation believed in what I call species equality, which means that all humans share certain fundamental attributes, namely reason and free will, that distinguish them from horses and dogs, which means that each person has an equal right to be self-owning and self-governing. That is, there is no natural right to rule. As Jefferson once said, because Sir Isaac Newton was superior to others in understanding, he was not therefore lord of the person or property of others. Now, what does the Declaration mean when it talks about unalienable rights? The founders always referred to man's unalienable rights as natural rights, which means they do not come from government. Their immediate source is nature and human nature. In the wake of the Stamp Act in 1765, colonial Americans came to reject the idea of the so-called rights of Englishmen, which are the rights of a particular people at a particular place at a particular time. The Americans searched during the 1760s and the early 1770s for a standard of right that was absolute, permanent, and universal. The revolutionaries' doctrine of rights provided them with a natural standard of right and wrong that defines and protects man's moral requirements in a social context. Natural rights are moral principles that serve as both a license to act and a fence to protect man's freedom in a social context. The rights of nature recognize certain facts of human nature. One, that it is necessary and right for individuals to freely exercise their rational faculty. Two, that it is necessary and right that man should be free to choose and pursue actions required to support life. Three, that it is necessary and right to act in order to acquire, keep, use, and dispose of property. And four, that it is necessary and right to pursue the values required for human flourishing and happiness. Now, obviously, the big question is, how could American revolutionaries support equality and rights and yet own other human beings as slaves? In other words, weren't they hypocrites? Now, this is obviously a large and a complex topic, but let me just very quickly give you a few points. First, all of America's founding fathers believed that slavery was either a necessary evil or simply an evil. Second, the Declaration's principles represent the greatest force, in my view, in world history for ending slavery. And third, the founders did not abolish slavery, I think, for three principal reasons. One, they thought it would die a natural death. And of course, they were wrong, particularly after the invention of the cotton gin. Two, this is the heart of the issue. They could not solve what I call the post-emancipation problem. And three, of course, it was their own moral failing, the failings of people like Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry, who understood that slavery was immoral and a violation of the rights of their slaves, and yet they did not free their slaves. And that's it.
Thank you.